This is episode 495 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, and a lot happened over the weekend. The Rangers extended Chris Woodward, some Rule 5 roster moves happened, and the Rangers were linked to a big free agent that I did not anticipate them being linked to. Let's get into all of that and more on this episode of Locked On Rangers.
You are Locked On Rangers. Your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
And you are Locked On to the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here bringing you all the news of the Rangers happenings this weekend. I want to thank you for making Locked On Rangers your very first listen of the day. Had a lot of great episodes last week, going to have a lot of great episodes this week. Going to be off for Thanksgiving because I will be, you know, giving thanks, and you should too. But there are plenty of good episodes to listen to if you want to ignore your family or you're driving somewhere and you want to catch up. All kinds of great stuff has been going on in the month of November. Who said that November was a slow month for baseball podcasting? Not me. I mean, I might have said it last year, but I didn't mean it for this year. Maybe it was just last year. But anyway, let's get into all this good stuff. Chris Woodward has been extended. The Rangers have signed him to a contract extension through 2023 with a club option for 2024. So not a super duper long extension, but he had been signed through next season, 2022. So this will be his fourth. The upcoming season will be his fourth as the manager of the Texas Rangers. He started off in 2019, beginning of the year, age 43. He will be 46 next season. Had a really solid first season, and obviously the Rangers have been in the rebuild for the last two. But what he did with that 2019 team that was pretty much in contention until injuries robbed it of its best two hitters. Joey Gallo was having his absolute breakout year, had a 986 OPS in 70 games that year, and was a little bit higher before he came back, was hobbled by injuries for about a week or so, and then was basically shelved for the rest of the season. Also, Hunter Pence had an exceptional 83-game season that year, had a 910 OPS, 18 home runs in 83 games, was just fantastic, and the right-handed hitter, the Rangers, power hitter, the Rangers haven't had in honestly quite some time, basically since Adrian Beltre, and they needed that in their lineup. They got pretty good production out of Shinsu Chu that year, and their rotation was starting to take form. But I mean, it was basically just a great season from Mike Minor, a great season from Lance Lynn, and the rest of the starting rotation was just questionable at best. I mean, even the bullpen didn't have a great season. Jesse Chavez had a pretty good year, but his stats were completely marred by a couple of really rough starts. Jose Leclerc, same thing with him, or outings, I should say. Actually, I guess Jesse Chavez did start 9 games for them that season. Jose Leclerc was an opener for a little bit. Both of them had ERAs over 4. Chris Martin was the only pitcher in the bullpen who pitched consistently who had an ERA under 4 at 3.08, and I believe that was a year that they traded him to Atlanta, where he has been ever since and just won a ring, so congratulations to him. But the rest of the starting rotation that year was an absolute mess. Ariel Jurado was the guy who had the third most starts, the only pitcher listed as a starting pitcher along with those guys in the baseball reference page for that year. But that was a really fun year. It was the first year actually doing this podcast, so I guess I have been tenured the same amount of time as a podcaster that Chris Woodward has been, so I haven't really covered any other managers. I mean, I've written about the team since 2014, but, like, you know, not an everyday podcast kind of format. But Danny Santana also had a breakout year that year. But ever since then, it's been hard to judge a manager in a rebuild because, obviously, they're not really trying to win games. Things are a little different. It's hard to judge what's going on. But I think he's done a good job connecting with players. I think he's done a good job shepherding this team through tough times. And I think he will do a good job of bringing this team out of the rebuild. He is what the Rangers envisioned when they brought on Jeff Banister. It didn't quite work out as well with Jeff Banister. Woodward's more of a player's manager, does a good job of connecting with those guys. And also, you know, combining the old school and the new school. He actually understands the analytics and does a good job of being able to implement them. And all these advanced stats and numbers that he doesn't just disregard once he becomes manager. Jeff Banister was good at doing that as a bench coach, which he is now again in Arizona. Good for him getting back out there into the game. But he basically only had one speed. Jeff Banister did, and that's why the Rangers had to part ways with him after only 2 seasons of missing the playoffs. After him, they won 2 division titles with him. He was a perfect manager for the 15 and 16 teams, but Chris Woodward is the perfect manager for the rebuild and the future of the Texas Rangers. I like him. I think he is doing a good job. And again, it's hard to judge a manager when they lose 102 games in a season, but that was kind of always the plan going in, so it's not a whole lot on him. But again, he has a great relationship with these players, and that is so much of what being a modern manager is. Also being able to take in all the information about what's going on with your team, with these advanced numbers, with all kinds of different things, and being able to understand defensive shifts and everything new that's going on in the game. There's a lot of growing and changing and adapting that needs to be involved, and I think Chris Woodward does a really good job of that, and so I think he's done everything that you need to earn a contract extension. Again, fans might feel a little weird because, like, oh, this team sucks, so you got to fire the manager. I don't think that's the case, and I think that, all you fans who listen to Locked On Rangers, and, you know, fans in general are getting much smarter about that. It's like, all right, well, this team had basically no talent. They traded away their best player in the middle of the season. They're all of their best players in the middle of the season. So, again, there's only so much you can do when you're given this level of talent. But, gosh, remembering that 2019 team was a lot of fun before this rebuild started in earnest, and boy, did it start quickly. So congratulations to Jeff Banister. I'm glad that they are extending him, and I think that is the right move. It's might not be understood by others and outsiders, but I think he's done a really, really good job of being a manager during a rebuilding time and during a time where they were almost trying to contend. I guess they were trying to contend in 2019, but injuries just robbed them of that season and trying to fight for a wild card spot, which I think they might have gotten. They were close, and they finished a little bit below 500, but they had a really solid team, and that was a lot of fun and unexpected team. They were not expected to break out. There are a lot of guys that did well that haven't done well other places since, like Danny Santana and Hunter Pence. That was basically one of the last productive years of their careers, and that was when I think it was the first year of Lance Lynn, and he was really solid. Mike Minor finally was able to come into his own that year, and just a lot of fun on that team. But again, injuries robbed them, and Chris Woodward did a great job. It's a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to the next time that he has a fun, unexpectedly competitive team, which I don't think is going to be next year, but I think 2023, maybe. Maybe they were on point, depending on how much they spend. And with some of the free agent targets they've been linked to, if they get all of these guys, or even like about, I don't know, a third of these guys that they're being linked to, that might be a much better than 102 loss team next year. Not quite competing, but definitely a lot more fun to watch. But we're going to take a quick break when we come back, talk about all these roster moves that were made on Friday, how they're going to affect the Rule 5 draft, and all kinds of good stuff coming up right after this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no more need to buy another device ever again. The best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So, roster moves happened this weekend, and quite a bit of them. It's been a hot minute since there have been a lot of Rangers roster moves. So, let's sift through them all and what the heck they all mean, because there are quite a few of them. So, this is quoting from the great John Blake, his Twitter account. Contracts of infielder Ezequiel Duran, right-handed pitchers Ronnie Enriquez and Ricky Venasco have been selected to the Major League roster. Right-handed pitchers Kyle Cody and Edouard Colina, assigned outright to Round Rock Major League roster, is at 37. So, what does that mean? That means those guys are being protected from the Rule 5 draft. And let's look at some of the guys who are not. Jake Latz, Cole Reagans, Bubba Thompson, all are unprotected. That is very surprising. And Grant Schiller, the OG, was also quite surprised. This is what Grant Schiller had to say. He said it's probably an indication of how many free agents they want to sign, but leaving those guys out there while we're rostering Brock Burke, Spencer Patton, Santana, Pozo, Peters, Eli White, and a handful of others is interesting. And he guessed that Jake Latz would get taken. Bubba Thompson would not, and Cole Reagans could go the other way. Either way, I'm likely to agree. Jake Latz made his major league debut last year. Goodness gracious, I can't speak words. And was fine. I think he's about ready. He's not quite, I think, one of the worst teams that has, you know, can put him in. he could definitely, I think, serve in a long man's role. I don't know that he'd be great at it, but again, long relievers are usually never that great anyway. So, I mean, what are you actually losing if you have a guy who's, like, not quite ready? I think he's got some potential to be a pretty solid major leaguer for a little bit. But, again, injuries have been a big question. It's a question of how many bullets he has left in his arm. He's had quite a few injuries in his career, and so the Rangers were pretty aggressive in bumping him up through the system. So it makes sense that he made his debut this year. And I don't know. We'll see. I think Bubba Thompson is definitely a little bit too far away, but again, he's a former first-round pick, but two of these guys are former first-round picks that were left unprotected. Cole Reagans is a former first-round pick who has had two Tommy John surgeries. The fact that he was pitching at all this year was really impressive. Bubba Thompson had his best year by far, 104 games, 808 OPS, 16 home runs, 9 triples, because he's really stinking fast, don't you forget that, and 29 walks to 121 strikeouts. Again, the strikeouts are going to be an issue with him. He is very raw, has been for a while, but started making a lot of progress in pitch recognition and discipline of the strike zone this year. I loved what I saw from him. Obviously, the athleticism, the power is there. It's real. He's one of those, one of the last, if not the last guy that the Rangers were like, okay, we're going to just bet on athleticism and raw skill and hope these guys can learn baseball. Hadn't worked out with a lot of them. I think Bubba Thompson is the closest for it working out. But again, I'm a believer, and he's still a little bit away. He's not quite going to be ready next year, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone takes a chance on him. Honestly, I really wouldn't. I don't know. I would be surprised if he stuck the whole year. I think he might get eaten alive by major league pitching. At this point in his career, he's going to need a full season at AAA, maybe make a cameo on the big league roster, make his first appearance towards the end of the year, get a little bit of a cup of coffee. But again, he is a ways away. He's pretty raw, but I think he's the most talented, has the highest upside of these guys. Cole Reagans had a really good year last year, kind of fell off towards the back half of the season, but I really liked what I saw from him this year. Sorry, I had a quick malfunction with my recording stuff. Also, I had to take a break to go cough my head off because for some reason my voice left me this weekend being around a bunch of pine trees. When you have a pine allergy, is not exactly great on the throat. But anyway, I was talking about Rule 5 stuff, all kinds of good stuff that the Rangers are doing. And Cole Reagans, who had a really great season. Again, him having Tommy John surgery twice his age and still pitching and pitching for a full season and being healthy for it was a big success for him this year. Again, like I said, he really fell off and finished the season not super great, but his first stint for this year was really solid. When he got to Frisco, it wasn't quite as good. In Frisco, he had a 5.70 ERA in 36 and a third innings, but in Hickory, he started 10 games, had a 3.25 ERA in 44 and a third innings. Now, I know a little bit over 4 innings per start is not great, but he struck out 54, so way more than a batter per inning. Hitters were hitting only 217 off of him, and just him pitching at all, like at this point with the injuries that he's had, is really solid. Only allowed 4 home runs and only walked 14, so all those FIP numbers are where you would like them to be. They weren't nearly as much so in Frisco. Allowed 8 home runs in 36 and a third innings to those more advanced hitters. A 5.70 ERA in 9 games. 7 of those were starts. But again, like I said, him pitching at all is a huge plus for him. So I don't know. We'll see where it leaves all these guys. I would be most upset to lose Bubba Thompson. I think Cole Reagans is probably the biggest gamble. I know Grant said that he could go either way, but I think Bubba Thompson, who hasn't had the injury issues that Cole Reagans has had, someone could definitely just call him up and put him in the bullpen and decide, all right, you're a bullpen arm now, which would be a bummer because I think he can be a starter still. It's going to take a little bit more time, but again, the Rangers have no reason to not be patient with him given the stuff that he has shown. But a little bit more good news about guys. The Rangers are definitely not going to lose. Owen White was selected as the Arizona Fall League Pitcher of the Year. Really solid 28 in the third innings that he was able to pitch in that league. Finished with the third most strikeouts in the league, 29, pitched a 191 ERA, and held opposing hitters to a batting average just 2 points above the Mendoza line. This is a quote from him from MLB.com, story about what he did out there. He said, quote, "Just came out here and did what I was supposed to be doing. Had a great defense behind me. Hitters were swinging the bats for me and giving me a lead, and I was able to go out and control the game from my aspect, pound the zone, and let everybody make plays behind me." He did not lose a game in his six starts, which, you know, I don't really care about pitcher record, but it seems nice. 5-0 in six starts, and he had half of his starts were scoreless, which was great. The worst start that he had was a three-run outing in five innings where his team was able to pick up the victory, pitch through a little bit of, you know, issues there. Only allowed one home run, did walk 13 in those 28 and third innings. He has had a little bit of a walk problem with him, but the strikeouts, again, really solid this year. And this was his first professional year of baseball, so him getting a little bit of extra seasoning in the Arizona Fall League is solid. He only pitched 35 and a third innings so far this season during the regular season, and then pitched another 28 and a third innings in the Arizona Fall League. Started his year in Down East, only got one outing in rookie league that was a rehab outing, but again, eight starts, a 3.24 ERA in 33 and a third innings, struck out 54 in that time. He is 21 years old, a former second round pick, and shows a lot of promise. A guy who was drafted out of Carson High School in China Grove, North Carolina, 22 years old, just turned 22 at the end of the season, so he'll be 22 for basically the whole season. Next year, we'll see if he starts in Frisco. I wouldn't be surprised with how good he did in the Arizona Fall League. I would like to see him get those walk numbers under control. The rest of the Rangers and the system have done, you know, a really good job system-wide of limiting those walks, and I think they can get a little bit of that out of Owen White's repertoire, whatever the exact right word is for that. But I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at a Rangers perspective future second baseman that I did not at all expect to be linked to the Rangers after his fantastic season this year. Coming up after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You know, I love Thanksgiving, all the good foods and treats, and there's plenty of them. Maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. You can feast on something delicious and feel great about it. So you can replace, you can have pie. Everyone has pie. Pie is not that great. It's really not. You know, it has upward of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars only have 130 and 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. I don't think many pies have a lot of protein. Plus, they're low-calorie, low-carb, low-fat, high-end protein covered in 100% real chocolate, which not all pies are. I've been saying that for a long time. But it was a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, I know my family, they're like, all right, we're going to eat at noon, and it's always like 2 o'clock before we actually sit down and eat stuff. So you can have a Built Bar so you can be less cranky, you know, learn from your mistakes in the years past, and make up for it so you're also nicer to your family. Share some at a family gathering. It'll make things less awkward. Maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried a Built Bar yet. Aunt Betty, I'm sick of it. Honestly, get on it, Aunt Betty. It's time. There are new surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly. So check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday, so mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. I guess mostly Built Bar related on Built.com. So you can go there, Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Now, let's look at some of these big free agents that the Rangers were linked to this weekend that I did not at all expect. Some of the free agent signings that have happened so far: Jose Quintana signed a deal in Pittsburgh. I believe his wife, he had a bad season in Anaheim, not quite Los Angeles, last year. Talked a little bit with the former Locked On Angels correspondent, current author, Taylor Blake Ward, about his season and a guy who I would have liked. He said he struggled with his release point. So, again, Dylan Bundy is another guy who is on the Angels who I would like for that kind of rebuild role, give him a two-year deal, maybe $5 to $10 million per year, see if they can try and rebuild some value. And I think that might get it done. But Quintana is in Pittsburgh. Eduardo Rodriguez is in Detroit. Thor is to the Angels. And Verlander signed a two-year deal, I guess 1 year plus an option for the next year, to go back to Houston for a lot more money than I thought they should give a guy who is going to be 40 during that deal and hasn't pitched since 2019. And a guy who has a lot of innings on his arm already is now coming off Tommy John at such an advanced age. If anyone can do it, I think it's Justin Verlander, but you know, it's definitely a big question mark. But anyway, John Morosi of MLB Network tweeted on Friday, hashtag Rangers, which just say the Rangers. Like, everyone knows who you are. You're not finding new people. You have like 400,000 followers on Twitter, John Morosi. All of these MLB insiders. Like, you don't need to use hashtag Rangers, hashtag Pirates. Like, either use their actual, like, hashtag, so the little emoji pops up, because that gives me great joy seeing that, even if the hashtag is stupid. Like, just say the team. It's kind of annoying. Anyway, it says, the hashtag Rangers are showing interest in Marcus Semien, sources say, in addition to their pursuits of Corey Seager and Trevor Story. Now, obviously we knew about Trevor Story and Corey Seager. Marcus Semien played second base this year because of good old Bo in Toronto. And Toronto has a lot of choices to make. They have some money tied up in George Springer, who didn't play a whole lot this year. When he did, he played very well in center field. They also have a Cy Young winner coming off of his first Cy Young season, who is a free agent, who they had to make a choice if they're going to spend money to retain him or Marcus Semien, or can they afford both of them? Marcus Semien would have had an MVP caliber season in any other year that Shohei Ohtani wasn't just redefining what is possible in baseball. And also his own teammate, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., having an absolutely dominant season that would have won him an MVP in any season where Mike Trout wasn't at his peak and Shohei Ohtani wasn't redefining what is possible for a baseball player to do. But anyway, he made an all-star team this year, set a record for most home runs by a primary second baseman, with 45 home runs this year, had an 873 OPS, 39 doubles, only hit 265, but had an on-base of 334, slugged over 500 at 538. 15 stolen bases, just one caught stealing this year. Was just very, very solid in that Toronto lineup. And, you know, his strikeout rate and his walk rate are really actually around what you would want them to be. I know his OPS isn't as high as you would think for a guy who hit 45 home runs. The walk rate is at 9.1, which is pretty solid. Strikeout rate at 20.2%. The home run rate this year, by far a career high at 6.2%. So 6.2% of his plate appearances ended up as home runs. This was by far his career high in home runs, but by no means has he not been a home run hitter other places. His last full season in Oakland was really solid, a 33 home run season for him there. Also had a 20-7 home run season in 2016 with Oakland. This year had a really high WAR. Where'd we go? Not his career high, but a 7.3 WAR for a second baseman is pretty solid. The year before, in 2019 in Oakland, an 8.4 baseball reference WAR. Now, how much of that was boosted by his defense looking a little bit better, because he's playing next to the best defensive third baseman on the planet in Matt Chapman? A little bit, but not that much. He did pretty solidly at shortstop, but I think if the Rangers signed Corey Seager or Trevor Story, it's looking like they're not in on Carlos Correa, because they know that he's not going to go to Texas, which is fine by me. Honestly, fine. I mean, he's probably the best shortstop of those three. But again, I would rather not have someone with the Astros stink on them, even though he seemed like a pretty decent person beforehand, and I'm sure he's still a decent person, but just has that kind of Astros stink that, as a Rangers fan, you don't really want around. But I would be more than happy to get this guy. The reason that I didn't think that the Rangers were going to go in on him is because, first off, he's like probably the best, one of the best, if not the best, had the best season of any of these players last year, besides maybe Corey Seager, Carlos Correa. He had a better season than Seager, had a better season than Story by far. Story had a really bad season, but he just turned 31, Marcus Semien did, in September, September 17th, to be specific. And he's going to be 31 for most of next season. And by the time the Rangers are competing, if they hit their window, he's going to be 32 for that 2023 season, which they're saying they want to compete. If they get him and one of the big shortstops and a pretty decent pitcher, I don't know. They need basically three bats. So if they get, Marcus Semien and say Trevor Story, because I think you're going to have to throw a whole lot of money, especially average annual value, at Marcus Semien. Maybe a five-year deal gets it done. Maybe it would take longer than that, but I wouldn't feel comfortable than throwing much longer than that, just because I just don't know how well he's going to hold up. A guy who has been kind of inconsistent, been pretty solid, but like still pretty inconsistent, coming off by far his best season. But again, I don't know that one bat or two bats or even three bats fixes this team. They need basically three big bats. So say they sign Marcus Semien and then they go a little bit discount, get Trevor Story on an 8-year deal. And then instead of spending big on an outfield bat like Nick Castellanos, who is going to cost a lot of money and is even further outside the Rangers timeline than Marcus Semien is, then you go get Suzuki. He turns out to be okay. That could be the makings of a half decent offense next year. I don't think that whoever is at second base right now, or who is scheduled to be at second base right now for the Rangers, is going to be of any consideration to keep them from signing Marcus Semien. As much as I have enjoyed bits of Nick Solak, last year was an absolute train wreck for him. Now, can this new hitting staff kind of turn him around? Maybe. I don't know. Andy Ibañez, is he any reason to not sign Marcus Semien? I definitely don't think so. So, I don't know. It's a nice positive. They sign Marcus Semien instead of one of these big shortstops. I bet Marcus Semien would go and play shortstop. He would go back to playing shortstop because, like we talked about with Mike Pellucci, he's the big name. He's coming in, and he's not going to move over for someone else because he doesn't have to, because he is the big name by far. He is the veteran. He is the all-star. He is a former Gold Glove winner and a Silver Slugger winner. So, yeah. I think that could work out very well for the Rangers. He played in 162 games this year, which is really impressive. He also did it again in 2019 and played 159 games in 2016 and 18. So the guy's got a lot of longevity. He did miss some time in 2017, only played 85 games there, but did play 53 of the 60 games in his not-so-great 2020 season. But yeah, great bat. I think would pair well with Story and Seager. I don't know that he would want to come here, but the Rangers are being linked to him, and if you throw enough money at a guy who, if you throw a long enough contract at him, a guy who has not been paid very much at all, because again, he only signed this 1-year deal. This is the first time he was a free agent. I'm sure, I can't remember exactly how much it was that Toronto paid him, but again, he had just been making Oakland money, and the contract that Oakland threw at him to try and keep him there was not great. He made $13 million his final year at Oakland, in 2020, and then $18 million last year. So this guy is going to get paid. I think it's going to be, it might take $30 million a year to get this guy. If you want to spend that money on a guy who had a phenomenal season and a phenomenal season in 2019, then I would be on board with it. But again, it's going to take a whole lot to make this Rangers team just not terrible next year. And I don't know. You get a Marcus Semien plus a Corey Seager plus like one more pretty decent bat. That is a lot of money to spend before you even look at the 2 to 3 starting pitchers you need for next season. You're going to need big upgrades on that front as well. That's just what it takes. That's just the reality of going from 102 losses to not terrible. It takes a lot of money, takes a lot of time. But I think that the Rangers should look at this guy. If Marcus Semien is interested in coming here, then take a look. I think he would be worth the money. I have faith that he, this year, is not just an aberration. This has been a really good player for quite some time, and him being in a good place, like Texas, it could work out for him. I honestly kind of hope the Blue Jays retain him because I want them to do well, and I like teams that absolutely go for it, and they made a swing, signing this guy to a 1-year deal after a down year in 2020, and it worked out for him. And I wouldn't be mad if the Rangers missed out on this guy, but I would be super excited for the Rangers to get him. Also kind of middle finger to Oakland, like, hey, you should have just paid this guy, given him an actual decent contract extension, he might have stayed with you. But he didn't, and he went off and did well somewhere else. So now he is going to destroy you for the next several years while you were in the tank, because your ownership is too cheap to actually spend money on the good players that you draft and develop. But that'll be it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. Thank you for making Locked On Rangers your very first listen of the day. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.